Turn back in your Bibles this morning to where we were last week and to the verse we looked at last week. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. verse 20, Paul says, I am, or as it is, I have been, or was, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to speak very carefully this morning. I want to say what this verse says, what the Spirit of God, leading Paul the Apostle to write it, I want to say what he meant. The title of my message is The Faith of the Son of God. I know this in the very outset of this message. I know that true faith is not natural to man. We are none of Adam's race is born with faith. They have a natural faith that is little more than the faith of devils, as it is called in Scripture. I know that Paul tells us also in 2 Thessalonians that all men have not faith. All people do not have faith just waiting to be exercised. And I know that those who have faith, they received it as a sovereign gift. They received it by a sovereign act from God, like every gift of His grace. We know this because it says in Ephesians 2, the same writer, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There cannot be any merit in man when it comes to faith. It's the gift of God. It ascribes all glory to God. And as he says in the next verse, it excludes all works. Men make faith a work, but true faith excludes all human works. And the only reason that one has faith and that the other has not faith is the sovereign will of God. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, where John writes and expresses it so clearly here. In verse 11 of John 1, he says that Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own world. He came to his own creation. He came to his own people as the Jews. He came to his own elect, and they received him not naturally. But then it says, but as many as received Him. So their receiving Him cannot be rooted in something that they do. It has to be rooted in something that He does. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. They didn't receive Him naturally, but now there are some of them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Some of the things that men say and ascribe faith as being originated by, not by any of things in man, but of God. But of God. They are born of God. And faith is the result of being born again. It's the result of being what the Scriptures say, born from above. And it is the true, and I might say only real evidence of the new birth. So much else that people say are an evidence of being born again can be counterfeited and is counterfeited by the devil. They say a result of being born again is you become a different person. I've seen that of many people who are not born again. And so all these outward evidences that men ascribe to being born again as the evidence of being born again, they can be counterfeited, but true faith cannot be counterfeited. It is the evidence. It is faith is believing God. It is to believe the truth. It is to believe the true gospel. The true gospel. And Paul here calls this faith the faith of the Son of God. It is the evidence of spiritual life, of the resurrection life that is in Christ Jesus, of Christ living in the believer here as He speaks and says. He says, Christ liveth in me. And all through the Bible, in the Old Testament too, we've been hearing about this life of faith. In Habakkuk chapter 2, he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just or the righteous shall live by his faith. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. They shall live by faith. And in Galatians 3, he says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. We're saved by grace through faith. But Paul says, no one is justified, no one is sanctified, no one is in any way saved by the law. The law can only condemn. In Hebrews 10, he says this. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in Him. It's all about this God-given gift of faith. And preachers often tell people, to exercise their faith as if they already have it, as if everybody has it. They say, exercise your faith. But I believe that what Paul is saying is that faith is the exercise of Christ in the sinner. We don't exercise our faith. We are exercised by the faith of Christ in the sinner, because faith is of Christ from A to Z. That's what it says in Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. And contrary to what is believed and preached in our day, when men truly believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than a simple thing, it is a miracle of God. They say things like this, is all you have to do is believe. They say things like this, believe simply and pray a sinner's prayer. It's all so simple. It's so uncomplicated. But it's uncomplicated if it is simply what the Bible says it is not, which is a work created, stirred up, and accomplished by man. But if it's a work of God, it's a miracle. It's a miracle if one sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, believes what is set forth in this book about Him as the initiator and the accomplisher of salvation. If they believe, it's a miracle. Because it is so contrary to their natural self, to their natural mind, which for so long has been enmity against God. Man is born with a nature that is against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And they have lived all their lives so contrary to His truth, so contrary to every principle in this word of how salvation is based on Christ and Him alone, they've walked through this maze of human works all their days from their birth right up to the time of conversion. And if they really believe, it is a miraculous thing. I heard all my days about grace. I heard about salvation by grace. I heard about salvation by grace through faith. But in the end, every message and every command and everything said about God's salvation ended up being a work of man. So I preached it. When I started preaching, I preached basically work salvation. If you will, God will. If If you'll accept it, God will save you. If you'll do this, if you'll make your decision, that He will bring you out of your darkness. But that was darkness. And so when God confronted me with His truth, it was a miraculous thing that we receive, and I received Him as He is. I received Him not as I thought He was. I received Him not as I wanted Him to be, not as preachers had told me He was, but it was a miracle when I believed what He said about Himself and who He is, and especially what He's done. So when anybody ever believes, it is a miraculous thing. You see, they take what God says then, believing Him, they take what He has said above every other authority and even above their own selves. Whenever men like Naaman, who naturally showed that he did not believe, when the prophet told him what he would need to do in order for his leprosy to be resolved and healed, he would have left. He would have not believed. He did not believe it at the first. And he would have remained that way because he said this, "My natural thinking is this, I thought the prophet would wave his hand over the leprosy. I thought he would do some kind of hocus pocus or put some potion on it or something. And he tells me to go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times and I'll be cleansed." But he did dip in that River Jordan. He was healed of his leprosy. Why? Because God miraculously gave him new birth, which was evidenced in faith. And that's the way it is every time somebody believes the gospel. We're all Naamans in our unbelief. We're all prejudiced against God and against His Word. So if anybody ever truly believes, it's a miracle. We'll believe what anybody says that we're to do to be saved, but we will not believe that God has said it's already done. Salvation is a finished work in Christ. And faith is less an act of my dependence on Christ as it is an act of Christ upon me and in me. That is, the activity which evidences that I have Christ living in me by the Spirit of God is that I believe God. That's what Paul's saying here. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Or I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, believing on Christ alone, believing the truth of His gospel of grace, believing what God says about Himself, no matter what anybody else says, believing, though it's contrary to what we thought was right, when we believe, it is an evidence that God has given us life, and this life is evidenced by faith. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to Mary and Martha, He made this statement. We ought to get its order. We ought to understand it. He said, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this?" This is the way that men in religion in our day put it. Whosoever believeth and liveth. But that's getting the cart before the horse. Whosoever liveth. You can't make yourself alive. You didn't in the first birth, and you cannot in the new birth. Only God can raise men to life. He's the giver of life. And He says here, whosoever liveth and believeth. That's the order. He gives us life, and that life is evidenced by faith. And then He asks that question. Do you believe that? I wonder how many religious people this morning, if I ask them the question, if I ask them something like this, when are you born again? They'd say something like this, you're born again at your decision. I saw it in a social comment, someone saying just as earnestly, just as sincerely, just as surely, they were saying that they were born again when they made their decision for Christ. It didn't happen. It won't happen. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. He's in prayer for the believers at Ephesus. He writes this letter and he says, "I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Now, people begin to get real mystical here. The inner man. The new man. First of all, the new man is the new man we are in Christ. And second of all, the new man, the inner man, is the man that believes by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You never are to look in yourself to see if Christ lives in you. We never are commanded in anywhere in Scripture to look introspectively to see if we can find Christ or experience Christ. If Christ dwells in us, He dwells in us by faith. We know Him by what we have heard in His Word. We don't know Him by sight, natural sight. We don't know Him by any of these other things. He lives in us by faith. The faith that He gives as a gift. And the truth is, you don't have to urge people. You don't have to pressure them. You don't have to coerce them to believe the true gospel. Because when the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in the elect and creates faith in them, they can't do anything else. They can't do anything else. Why? Because God has given them faith. I guess the thing that by nature and religiously that I wanted to believe the least, I found out was the truth. And once I saw it, God revealed it to me and gave me faith. I couldn't believe anything else. I remember when the Lord revealed the truth to me, I had a preacher friend on a Monday morning. He asked me what I'd preached on the morning before. I said, well, I preached on Matthew 1:21. For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's particular redemption. That's election. That's perseverance of the saints. It's the truth. He said, I don't believe I'd have done that. I'm trying to break my people into these things. It wasn't a matter of choice to me. I could not, as the scripture said, the disciples said, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. I didn't have a choice in the matter. God had given me faith. I had to believe His Word. And for the rest of the days on earth, people who are given faith by God, they're alive in Christ, and they never stop trusting Him alone. They never stop believing His gospel. They never can be drawn away by works salvation. Look at verse 21. The next verse, Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness, any kind of righteousness, come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And the truth is this. Those who have been given this gift of faith, those who have been born from above, they may, and sometimes, oftentimes they do, they may fall, they may fail, they may sin, they may display their natural unbelief, but they never stop believing. They never stop looking to Christ. That's what the apostle is saying. God says if they draw back, not only do I not have any pleasure in them, I never had any pleasure in them. If they stop believing, they never did believe. If they have this faith that lapses at all the way to the end, I never gave them the gift of true faith. They may be sidelined by temporary error. They may be confused at times by false preachers. They may be disappointed in their own sinfulness. They may be stalled by trouble and tribulation and sorrows. But they will continue in the faith because they can't do anything else. They can't stop believing. They have Christ living in them, and they must believe because he believes. He was the great example of faith, and he is the life of faith. He was the greatest believer. When Christ came into this world and took on himself human flesh, he didn't shine out his glory. He didn't portray himself before men as being supernatural. He went and he did what he did on the obedience of faith. And the Bible says his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. They believe. When the Lord begins to reveal the precious things of Christ, the finished glorious work of Christ, the fact that he accomplished our salvation on the cross, the fact that he loves his people unchangeably, the fact that he chose us, the fact that he determined all things for us to save us, and he keeps us and preserves us. When we hear those things and really hear them and believe them, we can't believe anything else. I'll be honest with you this morning. For about 40 years, I've been trying to unbelieve some things. When I sin, when I fail, when I think terrible thoughts, when I say things I shouldn't, and somebody says inside of me, there's no way you could be a believer. I say, yeah, you're right. You're right. And then the next thing that creeps over me is belief. I believe what God says about his mercy to sinners. I believe what he says about him being like a father that pities his children. I believe about the sufficiency of his work to accomplish salvation and to keep me. The more I try to not believe sometimes, it seems like the more I believe. Because Paul doesn't say his life of his was a life of faith in the Son of God. I know there's a sense in which that would be true. But he says it's by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. It wasn't Paul's act on Christ, but Christ's act on him. And the life of faith, like every other life, is a life of receiving, not giving. As one man said, animal life is wholly kept and preserved by receiving food and air and strength. These things are received to live upon. They are incomings, not outgoings. The incomings are first received as the cause. The outgoings are exercised as the effect. You see, when one believes, it's not man acting first. It's Christ acting first. It's not man that sustains is Christ that sustains. And those who believe, who live this life in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God, not only believe the truth, but they must have the truth to feed on day by day. Because faith is a hunger to them. And faith is a satisfaction to them. They live by the faith of the Son of God. They have to have gospel food, which the gospel itself is called the faith of God's elect. It's what's to be believed. They cannot survive on legalism or law preaching or works religion or false doctrine. Their faith is the faith of the Son of God, and that faith believes only the grace of God. They may believe what men say for a little while, but because they live by the faith of the Son of God, they'll come back to His salvation by grace. They'll come back to the perfections of Christ, to the truth of His righteousness, by salvation through His imputed righteousness, to the truth of their own sinfulness, and to the truth of Christ's sinlessness. They'll always come back to His Word alone. And to His work. Why? Because they have the faith of the Son of God. It's exercised on them by Christ, and they can do no other. They can't help it. They're alive, and they live by the faith of the Son of God. That's why I pay no attention at all to a preacher who says, "Well, I believe these truths, but I can't preach them." No, if we believe them, we cannot help but preach them. Which is this: who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. If He loved me and gave Himself for me, died in my stead, laid down His life in the payment for my sins, suffered all God's wrath in my stead, that's good. And that's good enough. And every time a weak works thought comes into my mind. Did it ever come into your mind? Oh, yes. We're so naturally works oriented, and we've been religiously taught and morally taught works oriented. And I'm not against good works, and I'm not against morality. But my friend, those things won't save you. And the Bible says they won't save you. And it never has said that it was saved. Well, why did God give the law? To show you that you can't be saved by your deeds. This is what I believe. Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And this is why I'm believing. Because it's the faith of the Son of God. We say, "My faith." And we believe. But you mark it down. It's the faith of the Son of God. He does all in salvation, including enabling His people to believe on who He is and what He's done. It's all in Christ. It's all by Christ. It's all for Christ. It's all from Christ. And it's all about Christ. For His glory. In faith. In the faith of the Son of God. It's His actions on us. He causes us to believe. It's not our work. It's His gift. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You would teach us that faith, like everything else, is of Christ. Lord, that faith that is of Christ is faith in Christ. But it's all the faith of the Son of God. We thank You, and we pray that You would teach us for Your name's sake and glory. Amen.